Let's pray. Father, thank you for the picture that we have of you from that reading from Revelation. Thank you for the majesty and the glory that that picture shows. Help us never to forget that. And may my words be your words. May our thoughts be yours. Amen. I've got a confession to make here. I'm not a very good lay reader. Now, don't agree too readily. I've been a reader for 35 years. And it wasn't until I got Louisa's email about service plans that I realised and I discovered that the Sunday before Advent is the Feast of Christ the King. So 35 years later, here I am, I've learned something new. It sounds like it's been part of the church calendar for ages, but in fact it's quite recent, it's only about 100 years old. So it's quite a recent feast. But it's a great idea, because it concentrates our minds wonderfully, reminding us of the majesty of Christ. Reminding us of that majesty just before we start to look forward to his coming at Christmas, and indeed look forward to his second coming. So it's a great thing to remind us of the vastness of God. And that's why I chose that reading from Revelation. Because it paints such an amazing picture of the glory of Christ. It's an awe-inspiring picture of majesty. I mean, it's quite impressive just reading it. But if you can put yourself in John's shoes and you turn round and you see that figure, it would have been astonishing. He says, feet like bronze from a furnace. Says, feet burning, bright. Hair, a pure white. Eyes of fire. Which, again, would have been majestic, but also a little bit scary, I'd have thought. Voice like the sound of rushing water. Face like the sun shining. Now, within that, there's some amazing language, an amazing picture. But there's also some language that potentially is quite scary. I mean, I touched on the eyes. If you think blazing eyes, those aren't the eyes of somebody who you think is going to give you a cuddle. You think of the sound of rushing waters, and you think, I could be swept away. So this majesty isn't a picture of comfort and help. It's just purely that, a picture of majesty. Of somebody we can never even get close to, because they are so huge, so majestic, so far from our understanding, that they're impossible for us to get close to. And John, not surprisingly, when he sees this, falls in a faint. I think I would do the same, to be honest with you. And the figure says to him, don't be afraid. I'm the first and I'm the last. I'm the living one. I was dead. And now I'm alive forever and ever. And there is almost the first sign of of, yes, I could give you a cuddle. Because he says, don't be afraid. He recognises John's fear at being faced by the majesty of God. But this majesty is something that we ignore or often forget too much. We try to make a picture of Jesus as being a Jesus of love, which he is. But we ignore the other facets. We ignore the majesty. The sight which inspired John to fall at his feet as if dead. And it's important that we remember that majesty. It's important that we remember that bigness. It's important that we remember that God is awe-inspiring and awful. I don't know if you've ever read the Narnia books by C.S. Lewis, but in there, there's a lion called Aslan who is the Jesus figure. And people within the stories, when they talk about Aslan, will say, well, he's not a tame lion, you know. And we sometimes try to make Jesus tame. We try to make him too comfortable. And in doing so, we lose sight of the majesty. We lose sight of the fact that this is the Son of God we're talking about. We lose sight of the fact that he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. We lose sight of the fact that he's so holy. We lose sight of the kingship. We lose sight of that Christ the King. And when we remember all of that, when we remember how awe-inspiring and amazing and huge God is, it makes that next bit even more remarkable. When we look at the psalm, you can see this huge, majestic being is interested in humanity. It says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. So you've gone from the huge to somebody who's interested in mankind. But the amazing thing is, more than that, he isn't just interested in humanity. He's interested in each one of us as individuals. He sent his son as a baby, as we're going to be looking forward to. The most helpless of individuals. So that he would understand where we are. But he's interested in us as individuals. He knows only too well that we fall far, far short of his perfection. But again, amazingly, the majestic God has given us the means to be forgiven. And it's not something that we earn. It's his gift. And I know this is stuff which we learn every week, but it just needs to reinforce so much. We have been saved by grace. Grace is a brilliant word. It means it's been free and it's unmerited. We don't deserve it. It's a favour of God. And that is amazing. I don't know how often you sit or you stand or you walk or whatever, and I think, and you think to yourselves, do you know, I'm enjoying the free and unmerited favour of the Lord of creation. I know I don't think that often enough. We should, because we need that grace. We can never earn salvation. We rely on that grace. The grace of that majestic Lord who came to us as individuals. We've been saved by faith. Faith in Christ who died in our place to reconcile us with God. And that's amazing as well. It's God's mercy in a nutshell. That Jesus died for us. Jesus who sits at the hand of the Father. Jesus, the picture of majesty in the Revelation reading. Jesus, the Holy One. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, majesty came down to earth to give us the ladder back to heaven. And that is the amazing thing about today. We have the majesty looking forward to coming to us. I want to finish by quoting part of somebody's testimony, because it reminds me of things I all too easily forget. They said, I just want to get baptized because I love Jesus. I was trying to think of what to say. I thought I might invent a time in prison to make it more exciting. But then I realized I was missing the main point. 2,000 years ago, the Son of Man came and died for me, so I'm not under the power of death anymore. So my testimony doesn't start when I was born. It starts at the beginning of the earth, when God created and said, it is good. And then he created humans, and he said, it is very good. And in that moment, he thought of me and said, it is very good. And it continued 2,000 years ago when Jesus on the cross died for me and was torn for me, loved me and knew that he would set me free. And it continues every day and every minute when I'm living and breathing and needing that grace. And I don't think I'd properly get that. Because if I did, I'd be shouting it from the rooftops. The majesty of Christ and the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much that even though you are so beyond our understanding, you came to us. You died for us. You give us the ladder back to you. Help us never to forget the majesty, never forget the awe. help us always to know your grace. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.